A lot has been said and written about the Antichrist, but we don't hear much about the Antichrist's helper, the false prophet. Even though the false prophet will play a secondary role in the Antichrist's global empire, the deception and horrors he will unleash on earth will be utterly devastating. Let's find out more about who he is and what he will do in this episode of Foreshadows Report. Welcome to Foreshadows Report. This is a podcast in which we learn how we can keep watch and find hope as we read the prophecies God has given to us in the Bible. This is Steve Miller. Over the past few episodes, we've been learning about major characters in the book of Revelation. So far, we've looked at the 144,000 Jewish messengers who will spread the gospel worldwide, the two witnesses in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist. Now we're going to learn about the person who will play a major role in the rise of the Antichrist. He is known as the second beast or the false prophet. What does Scripture tell us about him? In Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus taught about the end times, he said there will be many false prophets in those days. He warned in verse 24, false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. These false prophets will be very convincing, and their words and actions will deceive many. Scripture tells us that there is one false prophet who will rise above all the others. He will end up becoming the Antichrist's right-hand man. We are introduced to him in Revelation chapter 13. In verses 1 through 10, we read about the first beast, who is the Antichrist. Then in verse 11, the Apostle John wrote, "I saw another beast rising out of the earth." This is the second beast, or the false prophet. We know from our previous episodes that the Antichrist is called the Beast because he will be a cruel and savage leader. You'll remember that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. The fact that the false prophet is called another beast tells us he will have the same nature as the Antichrist. In the original Greek text of this passage, the word another means someone of the same kind. This tells us the false prophet will be just as wicked and just as brutal as the Antichrist. While there are many passages in the Bible that talk about the Antichrist, there aren't a lot that talk about the false prophet. Even so, in the space of just 7 verses in Revelation 13, God reveals a lot of information about him. And that's where we'll turn our attention now. Starting with verse 11, the Apostle John tells us that he sees the second beast rising out of the earth. You'll remember that back in verse 1, we saw the Antichrist rise out of the sea, which points to the fact he will be a Gentile. There are some Bible teachers who say that if the sea speaks of Gentile, then the earth speaks of Israel, or the Jew. So they say the false prophet will be a Jew. The problem with this view is that during the tribulation, the false prophet will help the Antichrist to persecute and kill the Jews. It doesn't seem likely that a Jew would partner with the Antichrist in killing fellow Jews. Also, it's odd to interpret earth as meaning Israel alone, when the word earth typically speaks of the world in general. It's much more likely that the false prophet will be a Gentile, and the phrase rising out of the earth can be interpreted as meaning that the false prophet will arise from the bottomless pit or the abode of demons. Still another possibility is that rising out of the earth is another way of saying the false prophet will be of earthly origin. This contrasts with the fact that the Holy Spirit is of heavenly origin. Scripture tells us that among the Holy Spirit's roles are that he glorifies Christ and points people to him. And as we'll see in a moment, among the false prophet's roles will be to glorify the Antichrist and point people to him. This means that the Holy Spirit and the false prophet are opposites. One points to the true Christ, and the other points to the false Christ. So it makes sense that the one who points to the true Christ is from heaven, and the one who points to the false Christ is from earth, or from the bottomless pit. Verse 11 goes on to say the false prophet had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. That he will be like a lamb tells us he will look and sound religious. He will appear to be a good person, yet he will speak demonic lies that come from the dragon, who is Satan. It's interesting that the word lamb is used here to describe the false prophet, because he's not a lamb. This is the only time in the book of Revelation that the word lamb is used in connection with the false prophet. There are nearly 30 other times the word lamb is used, and all of them are about Christ. The fact the false prophet will appear as if he were a lamb helps us to realize just how greatly he will deceive people. He will have an appealing personality and be a smooth speaker. People will think he is gentle and loving, when in reality he is a savage wolf. Verse 12 goes on to say the false prophet will exercise all the authority of the first beast in his presence. We know from Revelation 13:2 that the dragon, who is Satan, will give the first beast his power and his throne and great authority. It is Satan who will make the Antichrist so powerful. And in the same way that the Antichrist will be empowered by Satan, so will the false prophet. The Antichrist will grant authority to the false prophet, and it's an authority that actually comes from Satan. Verse 12 adds that the false prophet will make the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. Notice the key word worship. The false prophet will be in charge of all religious activities during the tribulation. He will head up the one world religion of the last day, and this religion will require everyone to worship the Antichrist. As we know from 2 Thessalonians 2:4, at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will enter the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. And the false prophet will perpetuate this claim. He will demand that everyone worship the Antichrist, who is a counterfeit of the true God. And the false prophet will set up a religious system that is a counterfeit of the true church. The fact the false prophet is the second beast tells us he will be very powerful. As the false prophet, he will be a religious leader, and he will be a false teacher. 2 Timothy 4:3 says that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. That verse isn't talking specifically about the false prophet, but it does tell us that people won't want to hear the truth. They will want teachers who are willing to suit their own passion. In other words, they will want teachers who allow them to continue living a sinful lifestyle. We can be sure the false prophet will do exactly that. That's what will make him so popular. He will become the global religious leader of all other religious leaders. And it's very possible he will combine bits and pieces of different religious systems to make everyone happy. He will allow people to indulge in whatever sins they want. The one rule that will be absolutely firm is that the false prophet will demand everyone to give their full allegiance to the Antichrist. He will say things that sound good and seem right, and he will say what people want to hear. That's why he will be able to deceive everyone so easily, and yet he will not be flexible when it comes to the worship of the Antichrist. In our episode about the Antichrist, we learned that he will not rise on the scene until after the rapture. That's made clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. But in 1 John 4:3, we read that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. In other words, we already have false teachers who are spreading deception. They are paving the way for the work that the false prophet will do during the tribulation. They are spreading lies that sound true. One of the ways that Satan works is that he quietly attacks the church from within. He spreads lies that sound like the truth. That is how he attempts to corrupt the church and make it ineffective. Ultimately, a false prophet's job will be to get people to reject Christ and accept the Antichrist. And it's very possible that his lies will include false claims about what really happened at the rapture. When all the true Christians are gone, those who claimed to be Christians but weren't will remain. They were already deceived, and many of them will stay deceived. This means the false prophet will have a ready audience that is willing to worship the Antichrist. Let's return to what Revelation 13 says about the false prophet. Verse 12 ends by saying the Antichrist will appear to rise from the dead. This false resurrection will make people believe the Antichrist is God. Then verse 13 adds that the false prophet will be able to perform great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. We know from Scripture that one of the ways God proved a prophet or apostle was authentic was through miracle. God enabled true prophets and true apostles to do miraculous signs for the purpose of proving they really were spokesmen sent by God. And the false prophet will do what appears to be miracles in an attempt to make it seem the Antichrist is the real deal. We're not exactly sure how he will be able to do these miracles, but 2 Thessalonians 2:9 tells us that when the Antichrist comes, he will be accompanied by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonder and with all wicked deception. Somehow, Satan will empower the false prophet, and the false prophet's miracles will fool people. Verses 14 and 15 go on to say that the false prophet will command people to make an image of the beast, an image that allows people to worship the Antichrist. Now let's pay close attention to what verse 15 says. And the false prophet was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Notice that the false prophet will be allowed to give breath to the image. Evidently, this is something God will allow. It's also important to see that the false prophet will give breath to the image and not life. Only God can give life. He alone is the source of life. So whatever it is that the false prophet does to make the image seem alive, it will be a work of deception. The image will appear animated and able to speak, and people will be fooled into worshiping him. Next, in verses 16 and 17, we're told the false prophet is the one who will help the Antichrist to set up a one-world economy. It is the false prophet who will do the dirty work of setting up a global system that forces people to take the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell. This system will allow the Antichrist total control over every single financial transaction. People will be required to have the mark of the beast if they want food or gas or electricity or a job or the ability to make their house payments or pay their rent or pay their taxes. All of this speaks of a completely cashless world where all transactions are handled by a central bank under a one-world government. This government will be able to open or close people's electronic wallets, and this will be the ultimate form of social control, of getting people to behave the way the government wants them to behave. If a person wants to live, he or she will have to swear complete loyalty to the Antichrist, or else. Those who refuse to worship the Antichrist will be killed, and the false prophet will be the one who sets up a system for killing everyone who refuses to bow down to the Antichrist. He will be the one in charge of slaughtering massive numbers of people. In this way, the one who gives the appearance of being a lamb will reveal himself to be an evil beast. While all of this is going on, God will be pouring out judgment and wrath upon the earth. And as the world draws closer to the end of the tribulation, the judgments will grow progressively worse. They'll become severe. As we read in Revelation chapters 16, 17, and 18, it appears that the final judgment God pours out will occur around the same time that the Antichrist's religious and economic systems collapse. In Revelation 17, we see the destruction of spiritual Babylon. And in Revelation 18, we read about the destruction of the economic Babylon. In other words, the Antichrist's entire world system will be destroyed quickly. As we learned in the previous podcast, the Antichrist will do everything he can to prevent Christ's second coming. He will bring the armies of the world against Jerusalem in the hopes of defeating Christ, but no amount of military power will be able to help him. Revelation 19 says that Jesus will descend from heaven on a white horse with a sword from his mouth, and instantly he will conquer the Antichrist's forces. Then Christ will capture both the beast and the false prophet, and the two will be thrown alive into the lake of fire. The false prophet who points people to the false God will be utterly crushed by the true God. We can be sure that God's judgment upon the false prophet will be severe. In Galatians 1 verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul said that anyone who teaches a false gospel will be accursed. In the book of Jude, in verses 12 and 13, God describes false teachers as waterless clouds, swept along by wind, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. In other words, false teachers are clouds without rain, trees without fruit. They are twice dead and uprooted. They are wandering stars. That means that they point people in the wrong direction. For them, God has reserved the gloom of utter darkness forever. This is the judgment that all false teachers through all of history will face. And this judgment is sure to be especially severe for the false prophet. In the end, the one who helped to elevate the Antichrist to the status of God will be cast down into the lake of fire by the one true God of the universe, and the false prophet's punishment will last for all of eternity. Revelation 20, verse 10 tells us that Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will be tormented in the lake of fire, day and night, forever and ever. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Foreshadows Report. While it's frightening to see just how bad our world will get someday, there is great comfort in knowing there is coming a day when all evildoers will be judged. Christ will bring an end to all earthly rulers, and he himself will reign over the earth, and we will live in a kingdom filled with perfect peace, perfect justice, and perfect righteousness. You may know others who would be interested in listening to the Foreshadows Report podcast so that they can understand Bible prophecy better. If so, you can point them to my website, where they will find a link to the podcast. That's at stevemillerresources.com. Also at my website, you'll see an announcement for my new book, One Day Nearer. This is a 365-day devotional meant to give readers a big-picture view of Bible prophecy from Genesis to Revelation. And one of my goals all through the book is to help readers see how prophecy about the past and the future are very much relevant to us today. To pre-order the book, which comes out October 10th, you can go to stevemillerresources.com and you'll have a choice of ordering from one of four different major retail channels. Thank you again for joining me as we keep watch and find hope in God's prophetic promises. And in closing, I want to thank Harvest House Publishers for making this podcast possible.